typically when you mention bats, the reaction is not positive. They're considered to be dark, mysterious creatures. And of course, in fiction, you'd likely think of Batman and Dracula, who has the extra creepy component of draining human blood to keep himself alive. So it's no surprise that a few days ago there was strong reaction when the National Weather Service picked up what looked like thousands of bats on its radar. And with me to talk more about that and bats more generally is Angie McIntyre. She's the bat specialist with Arizona Game and Fish. So, Angie, let's start with the bats on the radar. How many do you think there were?
Probably several thousand at least. I know that the weather radar can pick up, anywhere from a few hundred to many thousands of bats. And it can also pick up insects and birds. So the Doppler radar is really good at picking those sorts of things up.
So I understand you've identified them as Mexican free-tailed bats. I wonder if you could give us some clue as to how you identified them, but then also, are you pretty secure in saying you think that's what all the bats were?
I feel pretty confident that that's what they were. Mostly just behavioral-wise, Mexican free-tailed bats exist in these really large colonies. And so when you hear about like the bats at Austin Bridge or some of the really large roosts in Texas and some of our largest roosts here in Arizona, it's that species. So they're the ones that tend to be in such large groups. But this is the time for migration, and so other bats are probably moving through the area as well.
Tell us more about what the possibility of that could be in terms of whether this is the season for the bats to move along. Is the behavior part of their natural cycle? Was it in some ways like a perfect condition for it based on certain things?
So this is the natural time when bats are migrating. So in August and September, we see, not just on radar, but we can see it at wind farms, which a lot of times will kill bats. And during the spring and fall migrations, we see this happening more, and we find more, bats that have died at wind farms. So it's not unusual to see such a movement. We also see things like bats showing up at bridges, and there's a bridge in Wickenburg, for example, where bats will show up for just a couple of weeks at the end of September. So right around now, and they'll just stay there for a couple of weeks as they're migrating on to Mexico.
And just how common are bats and different species of bats in Arizona?
Arizona is a great state for bats and bat watching. You know, we're a really diverse state in a lot of ways, and we have 28 different species of bats here. We have the spotted bat that has, it's a black bat with three big white spots and huge pink ears. We have nectar-eating bats in the southern part of the state. Just a lot of just really incredible diversity, and they all do kind of different things. Our urban environments are just perfect for certain species of bats, and our tunnels and bridges and all that concrete that helps protect them against our extreme summer heat. So urban environments can be perfect for bats. All of our mountain preserves, again, great forage and, rock crevices where bats will live. So Arizona has just got a lot to offer when it comes to bats.
What do you say to folks who think, oh, wow, seeing that many bats flying enough to jam up the National Weather Service radar, that's kind of freaks me out. The perception of bats obviously is different than the reality, but how do you talk to someone who might approach it that way?
Yeah, and I get that. For sure. And, we don't often see bats. They're active at night. And on any given night, there are lots of bats out eating insects. So a lot of the things that mosquitoes and forest pests that we don't like, bats are the number one predator of those sorts of things. And bats don't attack people. I think sometimes just their erratic flight really freaks people out. And a lot of times, I get comments that, someone thinks that a bat is flying at them or, towards them. But actually, I've been in caves with thousands of bats and I've never been attacked. I've definitely, they'll check you out, and kind of fly near you. But we're so large, it wouldn't even make sense for something so small that can fly away to attack. So bats are safe to enjoy, and they're really neat to watch. and they eat tons of insects and pollinate our saguaro cactus and do all kinds of important things.
We've had a very light monsoon season this year. We had a very light one last year. What kind of impact could that have on bat populations and even their source of food, their source of nourishment?
In terms of impacts, I've actually heard, gotten several reports of bat deaths through the summer. It almost seems like maybe a little more than usual. So definitely our extreme heat has probably impacted some of the young bats, during the nursery season. The dry conditions, certainly. Some of our bat species, like the California leafnose bat, is adapted to our dry environment. But other bats are going to struggle more with something like that. And, with the way the monsoons were, it's possible that bats might decide to migrate early, or they might, stick around longer. It's kind of hard to say, but those weather impacts certainly have an impact on bat species. And there was, we have high dry wind events. Just a few weeks ago, we got a report of a bunch of dead bats. And it looks like the high winds actually slammed those bats into a wall. And so we had several bat deaths from an event like that. So weather and events like that can really have an impact on bat colonies.
Angie McIntyre is the bat specialist with Arizona Game and Fish.